Senator Ron Johnson has introduced the If You Like Your Health Care Plan, You Can Keep It Act. And we will talk with him about that during this half hour. And we will welcome your questions for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Tuesday, November the 5th. Senator Johnson says that President Obama said over and over that if Americans liked their insurance plans, they could keep them, and says that now we know this is not true and that more than 2 million people have been told that the coverage that they had is no longer going to be available. So we wonder if you support Senator Johnson and his bill. If you like your health care plan, you can keep it. Or if you think that President Obama is on the right side of this issue. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. President Obama is now saying if you have had a plan before the Affordable Care Act came into law and you really like that plan, he says what he was saying is that you could keep it. But if it's been changed or if it's substandard, you cannot. So we're talking about what to do about Americans who are being told that their health care plans are no longer available. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The president says the bottom line is we are making the insurance market better for everybody, and that is the right thing to do. What do you think? We are going to be talking with Senator Ron Johnson about the rocky rollout of healthcare.gov and the cancellation of these insurance plans for many Americans. And now what? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Should Americans have the freedom to keep their plans if they so choose, even if it is not standard or even if it doesn't offer the coverage that the Affordable Care Act mandates? We have with us Senator Ron Johnson, who joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Morning, Joey. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being with us and on short notice. So what exactly does your If You Like Your Health Care Plan, You Can Keep It Act do?
It is kind of a long title, but we chose to use that the exact words that President Obama basically promised every American. And so what our bill actually does is honors that promise for as many Americans as possible. Short of repealing the bill, that promise can't be honored, but we certainly can help millions of Americans keep the health care plan that they do like. The problem with the health care law is there was what they call a grandfather clause in the original bill. The problem is, you know, basically that clause said, yeah, you can keep your health care plan as long as you change it. So that's not a real grandfather clause. So we actually utilize the exact same wording that the original bill had. We just pull out that mandate to change your plan. We actually let people keep the health care plan that they like, and that will help millions of Americans. So it's a pretty simple bill. I certainly hope that anybody that voted for or supported this bill will vote for this bill, get it passed so we can honor that promise to millions of Americans.
But Senator Johnson, aren't a lot of these plans, they're being canceled by the insurance companies because they don't meet the standards of the Affordable Care Act?
Precisely. They're being canceled because Obamacare is forcing them to be canceled. For example, Joy, one of the reasons that I really, you know, introduced this bill as quickly as I did is we're getting calls from Wisconsinites, and in particular, there's a couple with cancer. Now, the high-risk pool is going to be extinct because of Obamacare. It's a plan. The high-risk pool works very well. It spreads the risk. It does cover those pre-existing conditions that people are concerned about. But now that program is gone, and this couple is losing, got their cancellation notice. She has stage 4 lung cancer. He's recovering from prostate cancer. They cannot get onto the exchange. They can't sign up for insurance right now. We did help them get in touch with insurance companies. They've begun getting some quotes from those carriers that will be participating in the exchange, and what they're finding out is their exposure will basically double. So their premium will double, and their out-of-pocket maximum will double. And that is because of Obamacare. That's not because of the insurance companies. That is because of the law. It's what I knew the effect of this law was going to be. And President Obama was either one of two things. He was being totally dishonest with the American public when he said, if you like your health care plan or your doctor, you can keep it. Or he was being totally disengaged, didn't have a clue what was in his bill or what the consequences were going to be. Well, Americans today are finding out the very negative consequences of the health care law. And so, again, this is one simple bill that we could pass very quickly, and we could honor that promise for millions of Americans. I hope my Democrat colleagues join with me to pass that bill.
What about the argument that the bills that are or the plans that are being canceled are bad or poor coverage or substandard?
It's simply not true. I mean, it's the words that the administration is using to try and cover the dishonesty. But shouldn't Americans have the freedom to choose the products they want to buy? If somebody wants to buy a high deductible plan and cover the first $1,000 or $2,000 or even $5,000 of coverage themselves, so they pay a lower insurance premium, one that they can afford, one that actually gives them catastrophic coverage, shouldn't every American have the right to choose that? Now, it's kind of like, should the government force you to buy a Cadillac when all your budget can really afford is maybe a Ford Fiesta? Who is, you know, why does the government believe it has the power and the authority to take that freedom away from Americans? I just think that's fundamentally wrong, which is why I said the moment Obamacare was passed is the greatest single assault on our freedom in my lifetime, and I think that's being proven true right now as Americans are going to see the effects of the health care laws that's being implemented.
Mm-hmm. How does Obamacare double the premium and the deductible of this couple with cancer that you cited?
Well, part of the problem is the whole premise of Obamacare is within these exchanges, they're going to cap the premiums for sicker, older individuals. Now, that sounds good, and it's going to be good for those sicker, older individuals, but for younger people, their premium is going to be increased because it's all based on that pooling of interest, and it's all government-mandated. So the insurance market generally sorts those things out in a free market competitive system. And I'm not saying it's a perfect system, but it's going to be far better than what we're going to see Obamacare is going to be.
We are talking with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Oshkosh. We are talking about his If You Like Your Health Care Plan, You Can Keep It Act that he has introduced. And we'll welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Senator Ron Johnson. And you can, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Senator Johnson with us to talk primarily about his new bill that would allow Americans to keep their health insurance. If You Like Your Health Care Plan, You Can Keep It Act, which was recently introduced. And our first caller is Jim in Saukville. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
So, well, I'm, at least as I understand it so far, I'm opposed to this bill. I think I understand the principle of people losing their coverage and not really having a place to go. And I could easily see a compromise that says, you know, for the next 12 months or maybe 24 months, if you've got something better than, you know, better than having to do a sudden shift. But I don't like the context of putting people on less than standard coverage.
Well, good morning, Jim. Thanks for the question. But let's kind of go back in time before the passage of the Health Care Act. 85% of Americans liked the health care plan they were on. And, of course, one of the things, and we all want to make sure that people have access to good quality health care. There are about 40 million Americans estimated back then without health coverage. After the passage of this bill, we're still estimating there will be 30 million Americans without health care. So we're going to totally remake our health care system. We'll spend in the current budget window about $2.5 trillion over the next 10 years on Obamacare. We're going to have to pay for that about $1 trillion in additional taxes, leaving about a $1.5 trillion deficit gap or reductions in payments to Medicare providers. That's not going to increase access. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is individuals were satisfied with the health care plans they had. We didn't need a national law to remake all those things to increase mandates, which necessarily increases the cost of health care. Remember, another one of President Obama's very famous promises were, or was, that at, by the end of his first term, if we passed Obamacare, the cost of a family plan would decline by $2,500. I mean, there's studies showing that cost has actually increased by $2,500 to $3,000. So we didn't bend the cost curve down, we bent it up. And the only way any American is going to realize lower health care premium costs is because the American taxpayers will be subsidizing part of that increased cost that is basically being driven by the mandates in Obamacare. So we're going to dramatically increase the cost of health care, we're going to reduce access, and we're taking away Americans' freedoms to choose the plan that they actually liked prior to the passage of this bill. You know, across the board, I think this health care law is a disaster for our health care system, our budget, and our freedoms.
Yeah, well, how do you respond to President Obama, who said that the Obamacare is making the insurance market better for everyone, and did admit that those cancellation notices can be scary for people, but added they were getting a very bad deal?
Well, I simply disagree with it. You know, not only have I the exact, you know, anecdote of that couple with cancer in Wisconsin, but we're starting to see example after example of people that are also victims of this. You know, other individuals, there's a good article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about a female cancer victim with stage 4 cancer that depended on a certain treatment regimen utilizing doctors in, I believe, Texas as well as in her home state of California. Now, because of Obamacare, that insurance coverage and her access to those doctors is going to be gone. And so now she's very concerned about her own treatment options. Again, this is the government that is going to be dictating, you know, not only what health care plan you can buy, but also dictating which doctor you're going to be able to use, what treatments are going to be available. And, you know, Joy, that is what the Independent Payment Advisory Board is all about. It's about taking a look at, you know, supposedly scientific data, and it'll choose for Americans what health care treatments that they're going to pay for, what they're going to allow. They'll take those decisions, those very personal life and death decisions, away from individuals and hand it over to a 15-member unelected board or panel. I just think that's fundamentally wrong. And I do not believe that's an improvement in our healthcare system. I think that's doing real damage to our healthcare system.
Jason in Madison says, while this bill sounds like a good idea on its face, won't it result in insurance companies incurring extra costs to maintain many different types of policies with only a few dozen people using them? I'm concerned that this extra administration cost will be passed to consumers.
Well, again, what you're witnessing is because of the Obamacare mandates. I was just with the group of health insurance professionals last night, and they estimated immediately upon the passage of Obamacare, they started changing the plans to comply with the mandates, and they estimated that insurance, because of Obamacare, the cost of those plans increased 3 to 5% just overnight because of those added mandates. Now, you can say, well, those are good things to add, and I'm not going to argue that if you can afford a plan with some of those mandates, you don't have a better plan, but it comes at a cost. And I just believe people ought to have the freedom to choose whether they want those types of coverages. You know, for example, maternity care for a 60-year-old woman probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. She doesn't need that in her insurance policy. She should have the freedom to choose whether or not she includes that in the cost of her insurance plan or whether the federal government forces her to do so.
Blake in Madison is with us. Hello, Blake.
Oh, hello. My comment is on the argument that comes up often in this of you should be free to buy a Ford or you should be free to buy a Cadillac. When I get cancer or I have a heart attack, we should all be treated equally. My cancer should not be treated by a Ford while someone in the 1% has their cancer treated by a Cadillac.
What about that, Senator Johnson?
Well, first of all, Blake, I think what we're talking about is, are you free to choose a plan that would be a $5,000 deductible versus a $500 deductible? You know, a $5,000 deductible gives you the freedom to say, listen, I'll cover the first $5,000 of treatment. I can afford to do it, but I'd rather pay for a catastrophic coverage as opposed, which is a lot less than pay for kind of first dollar coverage. That's really what we're talking about on the high end for the catastrophic types of situations, whether it's a heart attack or, you know, bypass surgery or cancer. Most insurance plans are covering those things in the exact same manner. We're really talking about more at the lower end of, you know, the size of deductibles, you know, what type of preventative care services, maternity care, contraceptions. I mean, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of mandates included in the health care law that individuals should be able to have the freedom to choose whether or not they want to, you know, load on the bells and whistles onto their insurance policy. But generally, major medical plans, catastrophic plans, they're going to cover those, the big ticket items, the cancer treatments, the open heart surgeries, in the exact same manner with the same coverage.
Another caller from Kara in Madison. Hi, Kara.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead, Kara.
I have a question about the prior plans that insurance companies offered that didn't meet the standards of the Health Care Act. For example, we received a letter from a local insurance HMO group that has changed all of their base coverage because their base coverage didn't meet the new standard of the Affordable Care Act. This is the insurance company making this statement, not the government. The second thing is, you're saying that people have choice to hold on to their special personalized plans. Those plans don't exist today. That's not how actuarial science works. Insurance companies do not have, prior to Obamacare, mind you, all of these little personal policies. They have very broad-based policies that you can pick from if your employer has chosen that option. But these personal things, for example, a 60-year-old, you know, not needing maternity care, those little provisions don't exist in policies before Obamacare. So I don't understand what you're talking about.
All right, Senator Johnson.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in, Kara. First of all, it's the Obamacare that forces the insurance companies to change their plans. Yes, I realize it's the insurance companies that are changing their plans, but they're under mandate by a federal law that's forcing them to do so. So, I realize it's the insurance company changing their plans, but they're being forced to do so. Secondly, in terms of the individual market, I think the estimate is about 19 million people are on the individual market, which is more difficult insurance to find because you don't have a pooled interest like you have with your company plan, where you already are kind of pooling the risk over a larger group of individuals. But there are plenty of association plans that even individuals can tie into. And here's the beauty of how well a state high risk plan works. As an individual, if you're turned down because you have a high risk by any insurance company, you qualify for the high risk pool. And as long as you've been maintaining insurance, you go right into that high-risk pool. And we had the same thing happen to employees at my business where they had a really terrible health problem. They were lasered out of our plan, but they immediately were eligible for the high-risk pool. So as a business, you know, we couldn't provide them coverage under our plan, but then I would pay for their coverage in the high-risk pool. And because I have, you know, experience with it, those coverages were pretty comparable to the plan we had, and we had a pretty good health care plan, similar types of premiums, so the high-risk pool actually worked, but because of Obamacare, the high-risk pool now is extinct, and those about 20,000 Wisconsinites who are on the high-risk pool got cancellation notices, including that couple with cancer. And let's face it, most of those people in the high-risk pool have serious health problems. They're all facing a similar situation where their coverage will end as of January 1st, and there will be thousands of them that are going to have a hard time getting onto healthcare.gov. And so these people are being put under enormous amount of stress right now because of the utter failure of the website and what I would say just the utter disaster that is Obamacare.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go, Senator Johnson. What are the chances that your bill is going to will pass?
Well, it's interesting that Senator Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, she's up for re-election in 2014. She hasn't co-sponsored my bill, but apparently she is filing her own bill today that supposedly is going to do the same thing. Now, I'll take a look at her bill. It's going to be very difficult to write a bill that's simpler than ours because we utilized the exact same grandfather language as was in the original Affordable Care Act. So all we did is we actually made ours a real grandfather clause as opposed to the phony grandfather clause that was in the bill. So it'll be interesting to see what Senator Landrieu's bill is. I'm hopeful. I'm more than willing to work with any Senate Democrat or hopefully a group of them to craft a bill that honors that promise to as many Americans as we possibly can. I mean, to me, the president made that promise, personally, I think we've seen over 20 times. And, of course, it was repeated thousands of times in the airwaves. That's pretty serious business when the president is making that type of commitment. I believe Democrats that supported that bill should help him honor that commitment.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Have a great day.
Senator Ron Johnson talking with us about his If You Like Your Health Care Plan, You Can Keep It Act. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.